Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 17, Episode 5 of Der Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah!
February 9th, 2018, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Looney Tunes Jack in Action, courtesy of Dan Muller, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
That's right, it's your boy, Gray Jim Mulder, here to investigate some X-Miles. And you know what? Shout out to Noel Berlage or Berlage for that AKA. I've been keeping that chambered. And so, yes, thank you for that. That was fire. Also, happy birthday to Salvia Plath out there. Feliz cumpleaños, mami. Te amo mucho. Thank you so much for listening every day. I see you out there tweeting about us in Spanish. I half understand what it is, but I understand it's your birthday. So shout outs to you, mommy.
I always stay at the Berlagio when I'm in Vegas. That's an AKA back to you. We are thrilled to be joined by the hilarious Adam Lustig.
Hey, thank you guys so much for having me. This is a real treat. I could listen to the AKAs. I mean, that could be a spinoff podcast.
Just
the AKAs. Yeah.
That we get a lot. Also, yes, again, I must say, I have heard I Will Walk 500 Miles and derivation. So please.
I bet.
Yeah. We gotta
cool
set the game
that.
Up.
Cool.
I don't want to shame y'all, and
okay.
I don't want to just say, hey, I've already done that one, or that one's not original.
But that is exactly what you're saying.
But yes.
It's funny, though, because, you know, off mic, he's always delighted every time he gets it. So I'd say just keep sending it.
Yeah,
he likes that one the most.
True.
I do put on a different persona.
I just got I Would Jack 10,000 Miles.
That's a nice
sort of... Yeah, it's a nice way to bring
inclusive,
it together.
Inclusive, yeah, exactly.
Walk doesn't really sound
and
like
And I
Jack.
Would Jack 10,000 Miles to be the man.
Yeah, anyway, sorry.
Works pretty well, I think.
Yeah.
Adam is on corporate.
Yeah.
He is part of one of my favorite sketch comedy teams, Harvard Sailing Team.
Jack.
Sweet of you to say. Some of the funniest human beings on the internet.
Human beings? How dare you?
Adam, what is something from your search history?
I just want to actually ask one thing really quick.
Oh, Miles, okay, over to you.
So, Adam, when I, before I got into comedy, I had a regular day job that was very uninteresting in politics.
Yes.
And around the time that I had switched over was around 2010.
Okay.
Which is the same year a video by the Harvard Sailing Team called Boys Will Be Girls came out.
Yes.
And which is one of my favorite
videos.
To say. And I was like, it kind of, that was one of the videos I was like, damn, like, I'm funnier than them. I can do this shit. And so thank you so much, brother.
And
I appreciate
what?
That.
You were correct. Turns out you were correct.
No, but also
I
had the most
man.
Massive argument with people. I'm like, dude, these dudes go to Harvard.
Yeah.
They all go to Harvard. Did you guys go to Harvard?
Not one of us, Miles. Not a single one of us.
But it's such a prestigious
yes, exactly.
Title.
Don't believe everything you read on the internet, man.
Yeah, including your comedy group's name. Yeah. I was like, man, these guys are funny, man.
Yeah.
Tell me, Harvard.
I take personal pride in knowing that we were the inspiration that we set. You saw our video and you're like, the bar's pretty low for comedy. I think I can do that. I can leapfrog that. No, totally.
Yeah, but it was, man, I remember because when I was like trying to get like my friends to like buy it, they're like, no, we got to make videos.
Yeah.
I was like, look how funny this shit is.
Yeah, man.
And you don't even need props, man.
I know.
You just need ideas.
You need weird ideas.
Yeah.
Just commit to them.
They're just dudes acting like women.
That's it. That's the whole sketch. No wigs, no lipstick.
Yeah.
We were at NYU at around the same time that like Derek comedy, like DC, Pearson, and Donald and Dominic. So we were like, we just saw sort of contemporary peer sketch comedy groups like make it, like YouTube was just sort of like being birthed, and like Derek was like blowing up online. We're like, oh yeah, like videos.
Right.
We were like theater dorks, and like we halfway wanted to be a theater company in the first place, and just sort of like found ourselves eking over into like the UCB verse
because
it was like free to do our shows there. We didn't have to like, you know, drop $3,000 on like to rent out a little theater in Midtown.
Yeah.
And then
buy all the tickets for your own show.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And like beg our parents to drive like 3 hours to see us. but I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah, no,
it's really sweet of you to say, man.
People have to recognize, you know, game recognize
really
game.
Really kind of you, man.
And you have to know that we have legends in the seat pretty regularly.
Not Harvard educated legends, but legends.
Yeah. Right.
Tisch school nonetheless.
Yeah,
that's right.
NYU. Real shit.
Yeah, it's a shit place.
Yeah, all you Tisch people are taking the fuck over, right?
I know. NYU is actually an evil place, though. You know, they're like one of the only universities to franchise. They built an exact replica campus in Abu Dhabi a few years ago.
They're like
the McDonald's of universities. Like,
wow.
They're not totally awesome. Like, they are like a little bit like the evil corporation of colleges.
So if you're in the Emirates and you go to that school, do they still call that NYU?
It's NYU, and they built a replica Washington Square arch. Not kidding.
No
like, to scale
way.
In Saudi Arabia.
So weird.
It's weird.
And they all...
Really weird.
They're also buying all the real estate, or have already purchased all the real estate.
Either the second
Manhattan.
Or third biggest real estate owner in Manhattan behind the church and the city. I think they may even own more real estate than the church. I think, yeah. So it's NYU is fun and great, but a little weird. A little weird.
Hey, yeah. What is it these days?
What's something from your search history that is revealing about who you are as a human being?
Okay, so I would say recently I've been searching, can I Amtrak everywhere? Because my wife Maggie and I, we have taken a couple of like recent trips recently. We got married last summer. Hold your applause. Thank you, Mouse. But we got married last summer. We took a train trip from LA all the way up to Portland, all the way up the coast, and it was so sick. And then recently we went to San Francisco, and we are just like fully on the leaving airplanes and air travel behind us, fully embracing the train. So it is so civilized.
How long to Portland?
29 hours. So we got a sleeper car. It's like the most gorgeous views, like a good percentage of the trip up the coast. It's like only for train. It's like you're squeezed in between the actual beautiful coast and like gorgeous rocky cliffs. And it's just perfect.
Right.
And to me, like, air travel is something you endure, where train travel is something you genuinely enjoy. To me.
Yeah.
To me, I just find it very civilized.
Yeah, there's something, like, hypnotic about the sound.
Truly hypnotic. Yeah. And, like, Amtrak has started, like, offering – I am not an Amtrak spokesman. I don't know why I sound like this. But, like, Amtrak has started offering, like, weird writer's grants for, like, writers.
Yeah,
to, like,
I saw that. Yeah, just to, like, cruise for free.
Exactly.
For, like, a year, right?
Dude, nothing sounds better to me. So that's
like, to live on a train.
It's awesome. It's totally awesome. And another, like, great bonus is that you get – for lunchtime, like, there's a dining car, and you get sat – because it's like such limited space and it's often fairly crowded, you get sat, you're sort of like assigned a rando couple to sit across in like teeny little intimate four top. So it's like you're forced to interact with strangers that you would never, like we met this adorable like baby boomer school teacher couple from Olympia, Washington, like these people that you would never meet or talk to in life, and like you're forced to spend an hour with them and it's the best.
Yeah. And they were like, we love Donald Trump.
We're like, bye. And I just jump out of the train. Just break the window.
Oh, shout out to Amtrak.
Yeah, Amtrak. Yeah. Do you guys ever mess with trains?
I did on the East Coast, but I have not yet living out here.
Yes.
And I've heard only great things, but I just haven't had the trip occasion.
I love trains.
Are there people with children on those things? Like little children?
Are they allowed on
trains? Children are allowed, but we tape their mouth shut, though.
Right.
So it's, you manage it. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm also from the East Coast, so I'm from upstate New York. And for me, Amtrak growing up was strictly utilitarian, completely functional.
Yeah.
And it was just like the 2.5 hours from Albany to the city back and forth. But here on the West Coast, I don't know, like taking a long ass day and a half train ride is something kind of like sensual about it. It's really nice. It's pretty nice.
Awesome. In Japan, like growing up over there, like you always take the train in general just to get around Tokyo, or even if you're traveling within cities, because like, let's face it, we got some of the best trains on earth.
Definitely.
But anyway, I'll stop brushing my shoulder off. Let's get back to the show.
What's something, Adam, that you think is underrated besides Amtrak?
Okay, underrated. So, and I am the worst offender of this, but I have to say the Winter Olympics. I am a huge sports fan, and I I've grown up loving sports my entire life. My father was like really sports inclined. My brother and I played basketball all the time growing up, and baseball and like martial arts and stuff, and I love sports, and I know nothing. I could not, with a gun to my head, I would struggle to name like 2 or 3 Winter Olympians. Mm. And it's like, how did the Winter Olympics fly so low-key under the radar every time? It feels like they're being eclipsed in the news by Summer Olympic gymnastics scandals. It's like the Winter Olympics can't even like muscle their way into the Olympic space of the sort of zeitgeist.
I agree, Adam. Enough with this gymnastics scandal. Get it.
Exactly. No, not at all to diminish it, but it's just like, like the Winter Olympics are here, and I was like, oh, shit, I think the opening ceremonies are now.
Yeah.
And I love this stuff, and I don't care about
the opening ceremonies are over.
They're over.
Yeah. But we will be able to watch them tonight on TV.
Great.
The shirtless Tongan is back.
He's back, baby.
Who's that?
He was from the Summer Olympics. Last Summer Olympics, he came in bearing the Tongan flag.
Gorgeous.
Greased up.
Gorgeous.
Greased. Like, just... looking like, looking like a snack. What?
Yeah, what?
Ooh. Sorry.
There he is.
Producer Anna Hosnier brought up a picture.
Just like real life.
I'm assuming that's not what he'll be wearing during the Winter Olympics because it's supposedly 20 degrees there.
Is he a winter? Is he a Winter Olympian?
He became
as well?
A Winter Olympian.
He was so hot. He was so hot. That
he was
they
like,
couldn't...
I really like the pop that I got from that last.
What sport
Olympics.
Is he gonna?
I forget, but he became a Winter Olympian.
I wonder if because like the reason why it gets less shine is like not every country has winter.
That's exactly
that
right.
You can ski and shit and do shit like that. And like,
that's true.
You know what I mean? Like, everybody can go outside when you can to run
the winter
or throw shit. But yeah, I feel like
it's pretty exclusive.
Yeah, it's there's a barrier to entry physically for some people to even get in there.
Also, financially, it's like that's why like only rich kids play hockey. Like, you need mad gear.
Yeah.
Like, you need to drop hundreds on gear if you want to get in the game. Yeah.
I played hockey for like 16 years.
Did you really?
Yeah. Very competitive hockey.
Wow.
And yeah, no, I think I'm pretty sure I want to say I'm going to go on record and say I might have been the first black and Asian hockey player in the 1980s. Yeah. So you're welcome. That's some Black History Month for everybody.
Like, are you in the right place? They're like, are you in the right gym?
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. And I was, yeah, all my teammates were Russian, Armenian, and Canadian.
Yeah.
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 Exactly.
Yeah. This is their time. Those countries' time to
that
shine.
That should be dominating the Winter Olympics. Exactly.
Apparently the Russians just during the Paris figure skating, we got a report from super producer Sophie Lichterman that the Russians were like getting eights and everybody else was like getting sixes.
They were doping on the ice in real time.
They had the stuff going.
An update on the Tongan Greece body.
Oh.
Summer Olympics, he was a taekwondo.
Nice.
And then Anna just informed me that the winter, cross-country ski.
Beautiful.
And he just uses his taekwondo on all his opponents.
Yes, exactly.
Knocks him out of the race.
Exactly. And he's shirtless on the Winter Olympics just because.
Yeah. By the way, we do not endorse Miles referring to him as a grease body.
Definitely not.
That sounds very offensive.
Grease body. I mean, it's greasy. It's shiny.
The Tongan grease body.
Young greasy.
Adam, grease what's God. Something you think is overrated?
Overrated. Okay, I know I hate to be sort of serious and morbid here, but I would say what's overrated is the import of photo evidence of domestic abuse. It feels like so many times, multiple times at least, with the Ray Rice thing and now with the, what's his name?
Rob Porter.
It's just like people are, can't believe abuse exists, and then they see the photo of the black guy and it's like, well, now I believe it.
Right.
That's all I needed to put me over the edge.
I don't believe words.
Words.
I believe images.
Exactly. It's like,
you know how women are with their
words
and talking.
Oh,
and
there's a photo? Well, now I see things completely differently.
Now it's bad.
Yeah, exactly. So I just want to say that that's a little overrated, the import and the weight that is given to photos of domestic violence.
Really unbelievable.
Endless, millennia's worth of verbal accounts.
Yeah, I mean, it's more just like that's what sort of domestic violence apologists, like that's when they realize their position becomes indefensible.
Yes, exactly.
That, and they're like, oh, well, I guess now.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, we're trying to take a sample of what people are thinking and talking about right now, today, at the moment we record it. And we like to open things up by asking our guests, what is a myth? What is something that people believe to be true that you know to be false, Adam?
Something that people believe to be true that I know to be false. I can't say that I know this to be false, but I would like to dispel the myth that like billionaire heroes will save us. Like the Elon Musks and the Jeff Bezos of the world. I just want to dispel this.
Preach.
Preach, right? That like this sort of great capital GM, like great man theory that like all we need is like this like Ayn Randian philosophy of like just a couple of true geniuses will lift us up and bring us where we need to go. I just am deeply skeptical of this. And it's dope when Elon Musk like launches rockets out of nowhere into the sky. Like that's awesome and that's super cool. But I don't know. I just am really wary of sort of like, you know, Jeff Bezos owning the world and like Amazon. He controls what we read and what we eat and how we think and what we search and buy. And it just it spooks me a little bit that like we are consolidating all of the world's resources into the hands of like two guys.
Yeah.
Just like two or three guys. Yeah.
Yeah. It's unprecedented how many of the world's resources are in the hands of just a handful of people.
Literally a handful.
There's this story by Malcolm Gladwell where he did an analysis of the like true stories of how billionaires became wealthy and then, you know, read their biographies and autobiographies.
Yeah.
And, you know, billionaires happen to be very good at like myth making and like self mythologizing.
Totally.
But when you find out how like the financial transactions that actually make them wealthy, it's basically their predators. They like just wait and wait and wait. And then when they find an advantage, they just like use that advantage, just hammer people with that advantage until they're billionaires. Like it almost takes a sort of mental illness and just.
Preach.
Like, like sociopathy to do what they've done.
Yes.
And, people don't become billionaires by accident.
Exactly.
And it's rarely because they're such good people.
That's exactly right. I was raised by two, like, very sort of, like, middle class, sort of idealistic, liberal thinking school teachers. And I was always, there was a deep, deep mistrust of the wealthy that was ingrained in me that I always like growing up, it was just sort of intrinsic and innate. I never questioned it. I think as I got older, I was like, why do my parents hate rich people? Or just not hate, but just like, why are they always just like skeptical and wary of the wealthy and successful?
Right.
And now as a fully realized adult, I was like, oh no, you were right, Mom, Dad. Like you were totally correct. There's reasons to be wary and sort of look askance at like billionaires, like psychopaths.
Right. All right, let's get into stories.
Okay.
We're coming off of Trump-Free Thursdays, and it is time for a Trump dump, where we just get some of the stories from the past 48 hours that we've been missing. We already mentioned the Rob Porter scandal. He was
secretary,
staff secretary, which basically means he was like the go-between. Like things came through him before it reached the president, like his desk. So
like literally every memo and every everything.
Right, which is funny because I guess look, let's just distill this down to one thing: the White House doesn't believe women.
No.
Right. Okay, so there you go. No. That's all you need to know about this story because everybody knew that this guy, his wives were telling the FBI
ex-wives,
plural, that when they were doing a background check and they're like, "Hey, should we know anything?" They're like, "Yes, he abused me."
And they were like, okay, he does not get security clearance. He was not cleared a year ago.
Yeah, but look, Jared Kushner doesn't have one either, so what does it matter?
Yeah,
anyway,
exactly.
Baby, this is the White House.
it's a party.
Yeah.
Yeah, our writer Sam wrote that it was either that the Trump administration and everybody like knew about this, or it was just a remarkable lack of curiosity. They were just like, oh, no security clearance? All
right. Right.
Right.
Thank
and like,
you.
And which is worse?
Right.
And like, when, as I get, yeah.
But they knew.
Yeah. They knew.
I also just want to say, like, appearance wise, Rob Porter looks has total abusive husband from Big Little Lies vibe. Like, he literally basically is that character.
Yeah.
From Big Little Lies.
Very, yeah, like,
Skarsgård was like,
but like, ready
him.
To explode.
Exactly, like, Oxford shirt, Harvard grad.
And it's weird, when you even, like, listen, like, when they say, oh, why wasn't he ousted? Like, I think in the Washington Post they're writing that Don McGahn was, like, sort of reluctant because he saw the Harvard educated, Capitol Hill vet to be a, quote, steadying professional voice. In the administration, so
people are duped by diplomas and a nice haircut. I tell you,
just that word Harvard, people's brains,
shut down.
Yeah.
And John Kelly, he really went to bat for this man. So look, John Kelly, I guess is the adult,
right?
My friend Ali tweeted something that I didn't read the article, but it was linking to something that apparently he was a character witness in a Marine corporal's trial. Where he was abusing his kid or something.
Oh, chill.
He like has a record of like pulling up for
abusers.
People.
Right. Yeah.
This is a Hawk sad, bad, mad
spit
time.
On the floor.
Yes, exactly. yeah.
Oh, and just one last thing on that. Some people are saying that this was all sort of engineered and leaked by Ivanka because she wants
John Kelly.
She wants him out. And so she leaked this story, is the rumor.
They've known for a while. It's like, why is this suddenly coming out?
Yes.
I mean, not that it could have been leaked or whatever, but it jibes well with, like, I remember after the wall thing, the immigration thing, and Kelly was like, the president was very uninformed on that, and Trump did not like that. So don't sun the president.
Don't sun him in public like that.
Do
not. It does feel like this is like the most grotesque example. It's almost like a comic book version of white male supremacy, privilege, entitlement. It's just like the most egregious, most grotesque examples of white male supremacy and how it's systemic and baked into our culture. Hourly examples.
Yeah.
The most grotesque ones. And it's like,
Speaking of grotesque.
Yes, yes.
This seems like it was a long time ago, but remember that we had Trump-Free Thursdays yesterday, so we did not get to his hair. There's that video of him boarding a plane.
Gorgeous.
Windy day. His hair blows out of place.
Hair is
in
quotes.
Weirdest way.
Hair is in quotes.
It's just much stranger than we thought. And everybody thought his hair was very weird.
Yeah.
They were like, there's a, weird comb over thing happening.
Yeah.
But it's apparently like coming from a very small point on like the back right of his neck.
Yeah.
Because it like,
It looks like he's combing over the back.
The back
parts.
Of it. Yeah. Right.
Like how
so
the,
he's
like,
balding on the back of his
You know how like on the mask, how he has to take off the mask from the back?
Yes, exactly.
Right. And he has to peel the back part back. Like that's how his hair is being combed over. Like it's.
Right. Yeah. I think somebody was saying earlier that it was like seeing under Darth Vader's helmet.
Yeah, exactly.
It was just like, whoa.
Ooh,
yeah. Oof. That does not look healthy, man.
Yeah. It also made me realize I don't know how toupees work. To your point, I was just like, oh, it's from the back? Is it a zipper? Like, what? How does it
But I think it's all his hair, and he's just like, I think he spends, I think he gets up at like 3 a.m. and just starts working on his hair.
Yes.
And like, that's what he spends most of his time.
Switch it to a wig, my man.
Yes.
And it'll look cooler.
If he went full bald, if he was just like embraced it and just like came out for a press conference, was just like, you know what, America, this is me.
Look,
like, would you
I'm
have
more?
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
right.
Would you have more or less respect? I mean, I think
I
maybe
couldn't
it's
have
a little
less respect.
Yes, exactly.
For him, so.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'll ever be able to respect him.
Yeah.
Unless he like comes out, resigns, and then admits to like all his wrongdoing.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
That's unlikely. Then, so keep rocking the shitty hair, my man.
Do it.
Yeah. Somebody said yesterday, Casey Lai, yesterday's guest was saying that he almost like looks like the dinosaur from Jurassic Park that has like the things come out of the side of his head because when like the hair comes out, it like flaps out to the sides. It's very strange.
It's truly grotesque.
Do not corner him.
Do not.
And then we finally, we didn't really get details on what Omarosa's life was like inside the White House, but we just saw a glimpse of her, you know, contemplating talking about it.
Yeah, for the longest time, people, I think, especially people of color, were like, yo, Omarosa, how are you up in the fucking White House with this dude openly racist?
How
and you're
why?
Still, you know, shucking and jiving for him? Yes. I don't know.
Yes.
Luckily, hard-hitting investigative journalist Ross Matthews, a.k.a. Ross the intern from the Jay Leno show, who is also on Big Brother.
The Bernstein and Woodward of our time.
Got to the bottom of this shit, huh?
Right. I think we have the audio.
And from the outside, can I tell you, as a voter, a citizen, I never got it why you went to the White House.
Preach, man.
With him.
Preach, Ross.
I felt like it was like a call to duty. I felt like I was serving my country, not serving him. Whenever was it accepting a political appointment, it was always about the country. Like, I was haunted by tweets every single day. Like, what is he going to tweet?
Does anybody say to him, what are you doing?
I mean, I tried to be that person, and then all of the people around him attacked me. It was like, keep her away from me. Don't give her access. Don't let her talk to him. And it's like, and Ivanka's there, Jared's there. And it's...
Who has that power to say what's going on?
I don't know. I'm not there. It's not my... It's not my circus, not my monkeys. You know, I like to say not my problem, but I can't say that because...
You know the old saying, not my monkeys.
Not my circus, not my monkeys.
It's bad. It's bad. Haunted by
Should we be worried?
Should we be worried? And I think she just nods yes.
Yes.
No. Don't say that.
Don't say that.
Because we are worried, but I need you to say no, it's going to be okay.
Okay. Why? No, it's going to not be okay.
No, it's going to not be okay.
No, it's...
It's not okay.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
Okay, I just want to say this really quick, which is like, we are deeply, so deeply confused as a culture.
Right.
And television has become, we elected a television for president by accident.
Mm.
And it was like, it kind of reminds me of, and this is a bit sort of abysmal, but it kind of reminds me of like that thing of like what took down the Roman Empire. It was like the lead in the water and all the Romans went crazy. And like that was like one of the secret reasons like the empire crumbled. To me, television is a little bit like the lead in the water for our culture. It's like we got fully turned around and we have fully not or we are not at all able to extract television from life and reality TV from politics, and now it's so much the same thing that that music is underscoring a conversation about the president
national security.
What's happening?
You should tell me it's gonna be okay, Ross. First of all, motherfucker, have you looked at the news?
Where you been, Ross?
Come on, my man.
We've been worried. We've all been worried. Yeah.
What do you think? Omar Ross be like, it's good. It's good. It's just an act. It's just an act.
Right.
You know him. You know him.
Right.
No, it's fucking bad. Because look, people in other countries are like, come get your man.
Exactly.
Right. But one of my favorite tropes of reality TV is the whispered conversation, where it's like, you know, they're gonna see this, right? This is a show. On television.
You're wearing a microphone.
You're mic'd right now.
Right.
You're fully.
And they are aiming
mic'd.
Parabolic microphones
at you.
The
entire country is hearing you. But the fact that like a major sort of revelation comes to our culture via that, the whispered reality TV conversation.
Deeply troubling. Deeply, deeply troubling.
We're fucked.
Oh, we're so fucked.
It's official now because Omarosa said so.
Exactly. Right. And that the White House is now a stepping stone in an entertainment career to another reality show. Like a job in the White House is just a sort of a launch. It's like a YouTube Red series. It'll just launch you to the next thing. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Usually reality TV killed your career.
Exactly.
Now it's like, you might even get into government. you might not get on a regular show, but how do you like the executive branch?
Exactly.
All
right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. So we wanted to talk a little bit about Scott Pruitt, the head of the Environmental Protection Agency. He has repeatedly questioned the scientific consensus that rising levels of carbon dioxide from humanity has fueled global warming and the warming of the planet. I think he was actually like appointed for that very reason.
Right. Exactly. Sorry, wasn't his job previous to this being the guy in Oklahoma who fracked so much there were earthquakes?
Yes.
Okay.
That was him. The very same.
Okay, got it. Just
the very same Scott Pruitt.
Clarify. Yeah.
And who also said, well, didn't he say like Trump was going to present like a constitutional crisis to the country too?
Yeah.
Like,
did he?
He said something like that before he was actually became the nominee. And like they asked him about these. Oh, no, I didn't say anything like that.
It's nice.
Like, Jesus Christ, man.
Nice.
Just he awesome hell. Yeah. I really want to try just spending a year having no problem, just living completely free from the consequences of my actions and the truth.
Yes,
just
exactly.
Being like, yeah, no, I didn't say the thing that you just heard me say.
On camera, right.
Now, anyways, he has now come out, now that, I don't know, the science has become even more 100% locked in. And he said, hey, even if climate change is occurring, as the vast majority of science say it is, a warmer atmosphere might not be so bad for humans. Mm. He said, we know humans have most flourished during times of what? Warming trends.
Ew.
So I think there's assumptions made that because the climate is warming, that necessarily is a bad thing. Do we really know what the ideal surface temperature should be in the year 2100? I mean, you don't even know what year 2100 is going to be like, right?
God damn it. Holy shit.
God, he calls it arrogant for us to think that we know exactly what the temperature on Earth should be.
How did we get here to this?
How
did we get here? Where it's just like science is now sort of on a sliding scale. It's kind of up to the imagination.
Well, yeah,
it's up for debate. How'd we get here?
I don't know. That somehow like ego is a good response to like in a debate about science. Like, well, I think that's arrogant. Or clearly he's operating in a place like a scientist is not going to tell me what to think.
Yes, right. Exactly.
Oh, I'm sorry. What the fuck do you know?
Yeah.
Right. It's this habit that the Trump administration and – you know, just liars in general have of saying, like, whatever they're doing, they say you're doing
that's
it.
Right.
So if they're being arrogant about global warming and saying that, like, we don't give a fuck about, they're like,
full it's projection.
Arrogant that you think you know what the temperature should be.
Exactly. So, and climate scientists are like, that we do know. That's our craft
that's
and
my job.
Yeah, right. We do know what it'll be. He also has one of my most, pet peeve vocal tics or like language tics when he goes, we know that humans have flourished in what? Warming time.
Right.
Like that
right.
David Brent asking the question and answering it. It's like, fuck you, dude. Just like that is such a condescending vocal tactic.
David
I hate
Brent.
That. Yeah, it's the worst.
Yeah, it is very
in what? Warming trend.
Trends. Yeah, exactly.
Just doing a really good hand gesture right after.
Yeah.
Mm.
Exactly.
The market has continued to, you know, not do that well. Mm-hmm. Monday, the market dropped 1,600 points before recovering a little bit. Mm-hmm. Thursday's market wiped out all of the gains from the last year. Oh. And, yeah, things just aren't going that well on the markets immediately after Trump was like, yeah, see, the markets are the best they've ever been.
Yes.
I'm the best.
Yes. So I don't know anything about stock markets, really. Do y'all? And what accounted for this, like, flash crash? Like, this, like, flash crash in 2 days?
So
wasn't it, like...
You know, I think a bunch of things, and we're applying all this logic to it, like we've said on past episodes, that it's actually the strength of the economy is causing the Federal Reserve to raise interest rates, or, you know, people think they're about to raise interest rates. And so companies are responding to that because that means and also because wages are going up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to they're going to need to pay workers more.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means less profit for companies. And the stock market's all about the very top making money.
Mm-hmm.
But another factor that it's important to acknowledge is that a full half of the stock market trades that happen are done by computers that are completely out of human control. They're like algorithmically derived. So
what is life? Yeah. It's just like computers making trades.
Yeah, just automatically based on like, you know, these complex algorithms that are so complex that people can't even predict them ahead of time.
Yeah.
They just know after the fact. They're like, well, the reason that the algorithm probably did that is because of this.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's an example of a thing that I think we're going to be seeing more and more where the world is being controlled by technology that humans are not smart enough. The human mind is not complex enough to understand and predict ahead of time.
We built the things that will destroy us.
Right, exactly.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah. And again, why are they fucking, they still come at immigrants, man. Clearly these fucking computers are taking everybody's jobs.
Yeah.
Fucking up the stock market.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you have a much sexier argument. You know what? I'm with the Luddites on this
one. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So, they're still trying to figure out why the stock market is going down, basically.
That's exactly.
Tell us, computer lord.
That's right. that's a good point, though. It's like computers take more jobs than immigrants, so you should be building a wall around, like, Apple.
Right.
Yeah,
or just being like, hey, let's embrace humanity.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You think someone was trying to figure out the stock market just, like, banging on the computer that, like, does the algorithm?
Hey, computer!
What the fuck's going on in there?
I think blow on it. Just unplug it and plug it back in, maybe. Just blow on it. Yeah.
It's, like, it's not a Nintendo cartridge.
But we need to get to the hard hitting story of the day.
Okay.
It is National Pizza Pie Day,
guys. Oh, baby.
So I wanted to ask you guys, best pizza you've had anywhere, and then what's your favorite chain pizza?
Wow. The best pizza.
Well, we have two New York City people here too.
New York.
Jack, you lived in New York for
a
little bit.
I lived in New York.
Yes.
Adam, you're from New York.
Yes.
And lived in New York.
Yes,
I am from LA, so my pick might be fucking crazy. So let me hear what, experts talk about, and then I'll blow it up with my uninformed opinion.
Miles already told us his favorite pizza is California Pizza Kitchen.
Oh, the barbecue chicken.
He said that's both his favorite chain and the best pizza he's had anywhere.
Yes.
The barbecue chicken.
The barbecue chicken!
So I'll say my top three anywhere are Bleecker Street, Nano Maria, or whatever the like Sicilian pizza is they have there. John's, which is right down the street, and it's
West
like
Village.
That's exactly
what I was going to say. Thank you.
They're just plain slices, beautiful.
Truly.
And then my number one is Jersey Shore Manco and Manco. Yeah, weird, but anybody who's been to the Jersey Shore, Manco and Manco. It used to be called Mac and Manco, and then there was a messy, like, divorce. So now it's just Manco and Manco.
Manco in Japanese means vagina.
Vagina pizza.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah. That struck me as odd. If I was a tourist, I'd be like, oh, we're not eating here.
It's just incredible.
Yes.
Thin crust, like, the perfect crust. They, like, put the cheese down first, then like have a sauce hose they put on top of it.
Sauce hose.
It comes out so hot and like crispy. And
honestly,
it's a little like John's, but everybody should make a
Manco and Manco, Jersey Shore.
I highly recommend going to Ocean City, New Jersey, going up on the boardwalk. It's a great, family town.
Oh, yeah.
And check out Manco and Manco.
I will fully echo John's Pizza in the West Village. That was not just trying to be a copycat. That was fully my number one pizza. Definitely, definitely, definitely. Here in Los Angeles, I really like Tassano's over in Silver Lake a lot. Not only because of their vast parking lot, but also because of the pizza. And Masa in Echo Park, that deep dish, that deep dish world.
That's really good.
Oh, it's like cake pizza.
Mm. It's wild.
Each
bite is a loaf of bread.
Truly.
Yeah.
So, and like, I'm very obviously partial to New York thin crust, of course. I mean, that's my hometown, home spirit pizza.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something about that Masa thick crust in here in LA that is, knocks me out, man.
It is very good.
Yeah,
it
knocks me out.
Oh, sorry. I should have said my favorite chain is Domino's Thin Crust.
Domino's Thin Crust?
All the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look, I like Tassano. Shout out to Marino. Marino, the owner. Who is from Italy. He used to work on Hell's Kitchen.
Cool.
Or he was the maitre d' on Hell's Kitchen.
Oh, that's cool.
And my friend Brianna, shout out to Brianna, who used to hire me on Hell's Kitchen. That's how I got hip to that place.
Cool.
It's very good in LA.
Really good.
Then I would say after that, oh man, it's a tie. I would probably say Little Caesars Hot and Ready. one of my favorites.
Cause it's both hot and ready.
It's hot and
ready.
Little Caesars is good.
Pizza,
there's
pizza.
No denying.
And look, if it wasn't legit, why would it have Caesar on there?
Okay. Caesar signed off on
lastly,
that.
Lastly, probably Santarpia in Florence, Italy.
Santar Pia.
So I gotta go.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Fuck you.
I gotta go.
But yeah, those other ones sound good, fellas.
It's the first pizza.
Yeah. Catch me Googling best pizza in Italy right there.
Right.
But I think really for LA, Prime Pizza on Fairfax. Shout out to Prime Pizza. They do a pretty good job of their pizza. But again, I don't know, and watch, people are gonna fucking flame us for being like, you don't know about fucking pizza. Hey, look, motherfucker, we're limited by our experiences.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're not saying this is the best pizza on earth.
Right.
We're saying this is what we feel is good.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so you're putting it down right now.
I put it down.
Domino's Thin Crust,
that's a fact.
No, not Domino's Thin Crust. Domino's Thin Crust is the best chain pizza, although Little Caesars is good also.
Yes. Also, shout out to Shakey's in Japan.
Shakey's in Japan?
Shakey's in Japan. They put the corn on there. They got everything. The flavor.
The corn.
The pizza in Japan, there's places like Pizzata and Domino's there, but they have corn pizza. They put mayonnaise in corn. Yes.
Mayonnaise?
We are wild.
I used to make fun of the stock photo house that we used at Cracked. Always, like, when you Googled pizza, like, all their pizza would have fucking corn on it. I was like, what? Yeah. What is this?
Why is this happening? I also just want to shout out the town up in Highland Park, that place on York that's super good. That's a nice pizzeria in Highland Park here in LA that's like thin crust New
that's
York
on the
style.
Corner. That's right there on the corner.
Really good.
Yeah, next to Donut Friend.
Yep. I cut you off, Miles. I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
No.
Okay.
I'm only talking nonsense.
Yeah. Oh, same.
I've been to Italy. I'll take Manco over any Italian pizza.
Jersey Shore wins.
I've been to Italy. Right. I mean, the Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
And I think I've had
basically,
the best.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying.
I've been to every pizzeria in Italy. All right. And then I wanted to talk about something that I think I've been hearing about it mostly on Chapo Trap House podcast. They've interviewed a couple journalists who are sort of covering the upcoming election and how the DNC, Democratic National Committee, is approaching this next election. And basically, there's this big sort of grassroots left-leaning wave, a lot of energy coming from young people and, just a natural movement that is happening. Mm-hmm. And there are candidates who are, being produced by these grassroots movements.
Mm-hmm.
And the DNC is kind of refusing to let those candidates be their official candidates.
Interesting.
So the way the DNC determines who a candidate should be is they go through their phone and check how many like rich people they have. And there's like a certain amount of money that you have to have in your contacts. And if you have enough money in your contacts,
you're allowed
to be a candidate. Right. Essentially, it's all about fundraising.
Yeah.
And, some of these grassroots candidates are like, there's this high school football coach from New Jersey who's just a really energetic, young, like exciting guy who's like a leader of men just naturally and was like, politically engaged in 2016, wanted to help the Democratic Party, volunteered on this campaign and was just like blown away with how just ass backwards everything was.
Right.
Like they wouldn't put their talking points up, even though every time he would go out on behalf of this candidate, people would be like, we don't quite get her stance on all these different issues. And they were like, yeah, well, we don't put it up yet because then the Republicans would like get us and nail us down on those talking points. And so
the gamesmanship has totally eclipsed any sincere desire to make things better.
And it's just very bureaucratic. And so he was like, all right, I'm going to run myself. And he's got a lot of, support in the grassroots, but they're just not letting him run, basically. And
it makes sense. I mean, because establishment Democrats, they want to keep that in. And clearly, like we saw that with, Bernie was very popular.
Right.
And we got an idea that, that might be some shit people are responding to.
Yeah.
But you can tell just even with, they always talk about the McGovern effect in this one because like, I don't know if we should put someone so liberal out there because we don't want to get crushed. Well, look, man, it looks like people are more and more and more becoming more and more left, especially like within the Democratic Party.
Yes.
It's fracturing right now.
Yes.
And when you look at young people too, like this article came out Mother Jones today that showed that, millennials are joining unions in record numbers.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. Because they see how bleak their economic future looks and like, oh shit, the only way I can guarantee some kind of balance of power so I'm not like beholden to the people I work for.
Squat up here.
Squat up. unionize. Yeah. And it's I mean, it's very interesting to see because if you look at it, like when workers' bargaining power peaked, like in the 50s,
yeah,
that was when middle class families did of the total income in the country.
Yep.
And when union rates started to fucking take a dip in the 80s, so did the middle income and share.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I think people are starting to see there is a way, like, we're at least trying to get out of this. We're trying to build a middle class, but.
I also think, like, from just a sheerly, like, symbolic point of view, I think of these, like, first-time voters who are, like, 17, 18, 19 years old now. I saw Yara Shahidi, who's a guest on Kimmel last night. She's starting her own, like, DNC, Get Out the Vote for Young People kind of initiative.
Right.
I think about these people who have only ever known Obama and then Trump. Like, right. These are their only reference points for president. I'm 18. I grew up with Barack Obama, this, like, fabulous, deeply kind, smart, funny, media savvy president, and now I have this. It's like, what a splash of cold water, and what a clear contrast for these, like, first time voters to be sort of motivated to. But I agree with you. Another myth maybe worth dispelling is that, like, the DNC and, like, establishment Democrat and, like, the Democratic establishment is any less rotten than they are. It's just like,
just who you're beholden to. Is it Wall Street? Is it, like,
exactly
the,
like, so the talking point you're starting to hear from the DNC is that, like, these left leaning politicians who are coming out and trying to run in 2018 and 2020 are, like, too radical, and they're isolated from most Americans who are more middle of the road.
Yeah.
And, like, polling shows that's not necessarily the case anymore. Like, that might have been the case in the 90s when Clinton was doing his, like, triangulation thing, but it's not really the case anymore, and there's more and more sort of support and energy behind these more socialist
policies. There's a survey also that came out, they mentioned that in this article, is that when they polled 18 to 29 year olds, that group gave a slight advantage to socialism over capitalism.
How about that? Hey, now.
Look at that.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah. Because everybody gets it. I mean, like, at the end of the day, you may say, oh, it's too radical or whatever. But if you just go out there and tell people, do you think fair should be fair?
Yeah,
do you
exactly.
think everybody should get a fair shake?
Everybody should be healthy?
Yeah. You shouldn't go broke because you have cancer?
Right.
Do you think you should be able to go to college because you want to?
Exactly.
Right. Like, that shit works.
Exactly.
That's not too crazy to anybody when you just say, hi, let's split the cake evenly.
Exactly.
Right.
I feel like you feel the left, even Bernie, like, pandering to the middle, especially on, like, abortion. That seems to be an issue too. It's like, no Democrat is, like, there's just a reluctance and a trigger shyness to being, like, pro-choice, like, abortion. That's still, the thing that even creeps the leftiest of lefties back to the middle just to pander to the, Here's hoping we go full socialist.
Hey, freedom,
full
baby.
Socialist, baby.
Y'all want to do what you want with your body? Go ahead.
Go.
But I mean, there are a lot of very powerful, you know, concerns, corporations are very interested in the country staying, at the very least, in the middle.
That's, like, for sure.
You know, the middle in America is far, far right in Europe and any other country.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's like the DNC is controlled by moneyed interests.
Yeah.
They want candidates who can get a bunch of money. So it's not necessarily like that.
Well, that's what
GE is, like, behind the scenes pulling all the strings
Just change the model.
The money. That's where the money
change
is.
Change the model. If these candidates weren't so beholden to their corporate benefactors, then you can change the game.
Right. During the Adam Conover election special that we did last year, there was this, like, stat that he sort of put up, which was like pre-1970s-ish, red and blue would vote together on a lot of issues. And there was, like, it wasn't so partisan. And then it became, like, over the starting in the 70s-ish and turning to now, like, now they really, really factioned off, and it was like red votes red, blue votes blue. And I was like, so why? And I think it was the introduction of the Koch brothers and campaign finance, and the way that campaigns were financed literally changed everything.
Everybody even playing field. Hey, everybody gets, you know, you can only work with $5 million most.
That's right.
Everybody gets the same thing. And just campaign off that.
Exactly.
Because if you can blow somebody out with the air war,
right?
With your robocalls and your TV ads and your radio spots, bro, it won't even matter because you can just inundate voters with your message, and they'll lose track of what's real.
Exactly. Give everyone the same. I always thought a good film school model would be give every film student the same script, like the same movie, and have them make it. It's just like, start with the control.
And like, okay, let's see where everybody's at.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Interesting choice for that scene.
All right, we're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
We'll be right back. And we're back, and it is Friday, which means it's time for Bloid Watch.
Bloid Watch.
So it's pretty slow day in the tabloids, other than it seems like They have tapped directly into Donald Trump's mindscape, the National Enquirer. So we've talked before, Adam, about how Donald Trump is very good friends with the guy who publishes basically all the tabloids.
Yes.
Except for OK and a couple, and maybe Life and Style.
Yeah.
Donald Trump is a tabloid magazine, The Man.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. He is a human tabloid magazine. Yeah. And more and more, the National Enquirer reads like it is written by him.
Oh, God.
For instance, the National Enquirer, the cover is that Obama and Hillary were personally responsible for wiretapping him, and they have photographs of both of them with like listening devices in their ears, like holding listening devices into their ears.
Right.
And so it suggests, yes, they were like there.
Literally just tuning in like it was a podcast. Right. Like, yes. Okay, what's Trump talking about? Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the National Enquirer would have you believe that these photos of them are like they caught them in the act of wiretapping just then.
Obama and Hillary ordered FBI to spy on Trump.
Maybe they were at the UN when a foreign diplomat was speaking not in English and they were listening to a translator via earpiece. But I don't know.
No.
I don't know, man. Hashtag deep state.
Yeah. But Obama looks so shady in this picture.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And even Obama at his shadiest looks so good. He's like, it's still my
regal.
President. Yeah, so
presidential.
Regal. My God. Yeah, the National Enquirer of all – I mean, it's so perfect, like, similar to the Omarosa being talking to Ross Matthews about our national policy. It, like, makes disgusting perfect sense that the National Enquirer is, like, the official media outlet of the president. It makes perfect sense.
Well, and then also, who else they come for in here?
So, on the cover, the other big story is – Jay-Z's hidden love child.
Oh, no.
And what Beyonce doesn't know about it.
Oh, no.
So if you just want to know, like, what is on the president's mind, Obama and Hillary always, he's just, like, simmering hatred for them. And then now he's pissed off at Jay-Z, obviously.
I can't believe Jay-Z ethered me like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
He always reminds us that he is a celebrity first.
Yes. Right.
Like, that is what he is concerned
not
about.
America first.
Not even.
Celebrity first.
Celebrity, like, I'm concerned with my celebrity status only. Like, didn't he go after Kristen Stewart? Didn't he have a, like, he cared so much about
Kristen Stewart and Robert Pattinson's
creepiest old pervert celebrity.
Oh,
God. I don't fuck with FKA Twigs, though.
Yeah. Leave her, Robert. She's no good.
Why?
She's
is that who Robert Pattinson's with now?
Are they still together? They're still together? Okay, good.
You don't like her, though?
No, I'm saying that's what Trump would say.
Oh, got it. Yeah,
that was me doing a terrible
job. Got it.
Because he ships them. He ships Kristen and Robert.
Yes, exactly. Right.
So the Globe is talking about Olympic skaters' hidden lies, and then it's just stories about injuries
just
they had before they were famous. It's really weird.
Hidden sprained ankle.
I guess
Elton
hidden
John
because,
battling Parkinson's, Loretta Lynn ready to die like Biggie. It really says Loretta Lynn ready to die.
Like Biggie.
Like Biggie was.
And also what's interesting, too, why she believes in life after death.
Yeah.
That's two B.I.G. references in one Loretta.
Yeah, really.
I mean, shout out to the Globe. Real hip-hop fans.
Trump runs the Enquirer, but Biggie and Tupac run the Globe.
Oh, look, Anna Hosni just doing a frowny face saying that apparently they're not together, that they might get back together, so that means they're not together. Okay,
exactly.
Well, I guess you won this one, Trump. let's see, what else we got? Oh, National Examiner. Can I do that one?
Yeah.
So National Examiner, one of my favorites. They always do they always dig up lost prophecies from Nostradamus that somehow they only found. And they never explain. Actually, this one says, stunning long lost predictions made by the historic sage Nostradamus have been discovered. We don't know how.
Oh, yeah.
But this is claiming that these are 50 prophecies that will come true by Easter. And I just circled some of my favorite ones. There are a lot. So just bear with me and I'll just fly through these. Number one, all electronic devices will crash for 10 minutes, resulting in mass chaos in the globe's greatest city.
10 minutes?
Okay. Interesting.
That's so funny.
Hailstones the size of melons will pummel a city in Utah,
melons!
Killing five.
Killing five?
I'm glad that he saw that detail.
So specific.
Wealthy customers will flock to a new chain of, quote, vodka saunas, relaxing in warm clouds of high-grade alcohol vapor.
Wait.
Okay.
Sounds fun.
I think that actually happened already.
There's some low-hanging fruit in here.
Vodka vapor saunas?
Like this one. Social media platforms will mysteriously release government secrets from the 1950s.
Okay. Almost already happening.
You mean WikiLeaks?
Seriously?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
JonBenet Ramsey's murderer will come forward and confess to the heinous crime that captivated the nation.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Favorite. Let's see. A new reality show will feature people interacting with their guardian angels. Hey, man. I mean, pilot season's right now, and you're saying this is going to happen by Easter?
Right.
I mean, will it be ordered to series that quickly?
Exactly.
We will see. Let's move on. Oh. So he comes from Beyonce.
Yes.
So Nostradamus apparently is Nostradamus.
Oh, right.
Because Beyonce will lose her voice and never be able to perform again, but she'll love life as a full-time homemaker.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Seriously, Beyonce, you know where your real place is. Exactly.
Sit down the kitchen, yes. Right?
Stop talking.
Yes.
The remains of missing mobster Jimmy Hoffa will be discovered in New York Central Park by kids digging with plastic shovels.
Plastic is the key detail there.
Yeah. Or that it's digging and it's, Nostradamus had a lot of time.
Yes,
and
right.
Then let's see, one last one. Oh, this one might happen because it's the Olympics. A hockey scandal involving the vice president of the United States, Mike Pence, will rock the nation.
Wow.
A hockey finger skating involving Mike Pence.
Oh, and then my favorite one, Mexico votes to join the state of Texas. The new state will be called Mexis.
Stop it. Is that
gotta
real?
Go.
Get real.
Yep. That's printed in a fucking thing that people read.
Nostradamus's other sages at the time must be so pissed that his legacy has lasted. I feel like Nostradamus is the go-to sage that gets there's probably so many other sages who made way
better. Who was his favorite sage?
Exactly.
Who's your favorite sage's favorite sage?
Exactly. And I also just want to say that Trump is so bad and such a destructive force in this country that literally it just reminded me of government secrets being leaked from the 50s. Didn't NASA come out and were aliens are real. We've been looking for aliens and they're real. And we were like, we don't have time for that.
Right.
We
talked about it on past episodes.
Yeah.
There's all these really weird reports that the New York Times actually published.
Yeah.
Just search UFO on the New York Times.
Yes.
So, you guys, there is a handful of new Diet Coke flavors. We're
going to
taste test them for you. You guys know that if you've seen any pictures of the inside of our studio, you've maybe seen some Diet Coke cans sitting around. I'm a fan.
Can I ask you about your history with Diet Coke, Jack, on a personal level, how you sort of fell into becoming such a fanboy?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
So I personally never liked Diet anything growing up.
Yes.
And then in my 20s, I worked at ABC. Mm-hmm. Diane Sawyer just mowed through 18 Diet Cokes every morning.
God,
and I was just holy shit. Oh. That's amazing. And she never slept. She slept because she would go out at night and then would have to be up at 4 in the morning for Good Morning America. So I was always impressed by her ability to do that. And then, it's just basically I slowly went from being addicted to sugar as a kid to being addicted to caffeine.
Yeah.
And Diet Coke. It was basically when I found out that Diet Coke has more caffeine than regular Coke. It was all over.
I didn't know that.
Me. Yeah.
You're kind of like a Diane Sawyer cosplay a little bit.
Always have been.
Always. Always
been.
Yeah.
All right. So
I'm excited about this.
Okay. So
idea here is that they're infused with fruit.
Okay. I thought it was just a design rebrand. I did not know that there were new flavors.
They got new flavors.
That's massive.
They got it. People are drinking less soda, so let's turn it up.
Exactly.
So what we have are the four new flavors, and I won't reveal them first. First, I want you guys to taste them blind.
Great.
Okay.
And then just give me a little idea. I will taste them too, but only I know the flavors. So first I'm going to pour you guys up a first one, and I'll just put a little sip.
Super exciting.
Yes. Yeah, so here we go.
Closing my eyes.
Okay, don't worry.
Miles, are you also – my eyes are closed. Miles, are you a Diet Coke head as well, just in general?
No, I'm a Coke head.
Coke head.
Straight up,
baby.
Straight up.
Straight up. Now –
okay, thank you, sir.
There you go. Pass one down to Jack.
Yep.
Thank you.
There you go, brother.
Drinking it out of our beautiful Daily Zeitgeist mugs.
Really beautiful.
Okay, so there's yours right there,
Adam. Thank you, Miles.
All right. So let's just try this one. Cheers.
Cheers.
Guys. Cheers.
Salute, L'chaim.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Subtle.
Interesting.
I'm
going to go in for one more.
It's got hints of, it's more vanilla-ish than normal.
Mm-hmm.
Tastes like an old Tic Tac or something. Yeah. Someone left a Tic Tac in a Diet Coke.
Orange? Yeah. Maybe it's a subtle tangerine vibe, maybe?
Orange, tangerine, vanilla.
So that one,
thing.
This one is called Zesty Blood Orange.
Zesty Blood Orange.
I kind of like it, actually.
You like that one?
Yeah, it's basically a sweeter Diet Coke.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on to number two.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
make sure you clean your mugs. This is not a real taste test, so we will.
Honestly, delicious, to be honest with you.
I thought it was good. So you like Diet Coke?
Yeah, I do like it. Yeah.
Awesome.
Oh, you guys like that one?
I like it, Miles. All right, so here is flavor two.
Zesty Blood Orange. Okay.
Flavor two of four.
Okay.
Right. Bottoms up.
Okay.
Okay.
What do you think, Jack?
I do not like that.
No.
That is
Does this even have a flavor to it?
It seems like they're underlining the more medicinal and metallic flavors in the Diet Coke.
That's a good way to put it.
This one is ginger lime.
Ginger, I think it's the okay.
Ginger. Okay. Yeah, no.
Yeah,
that didn't
I smell
work.
It now. The ginger. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Yep. Yep.
So
did not work.
So far, zesty blood orange is still top.
Thumbs up.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's flavor.
Because the zesty blood orange is like underlining
the sweetness.
And these are still zero calories.
Zero calories.
How do they do it?
How? It's magic.
It's all the miracle of aspartame.
Yes, exactly.
That's what I call aspartame.
Aspartame. Ooh, this one's got a nice aroma to it, nice and fragrant.
Yes,
which I like.
And look at the legs on that.
Okay, let's try this one. This is flavor 3 of 4.
Diet Coke Sommelier. Okay. Mm. Oh, sure. This is coming at you hard with a fruit flavor. I mean,
Whoa. This
is pretty aggressive.
Whoa.
This seems aggressive.
I just grew hair and they turned to braids with beads on them.
Yeah, it's like a tropical, maybe mango tropical.
I was going to say like passion fruit or something. Yeah.
It's twisted mango.
Twisted. Hey, Jack, twisted. Right in the money, baby. Nice.
What do you think of that one?
Actually, I think this is kind of fucking twisted.
I gotta give it up. This is a pretty good mango flavor for a diet soda.
Agreed.
Yeah. Okay.
Agreed.
Well done.
It's pretty good.
That's
I enjoy this one.
Blood orange. Okay, this is the last one.
Ooh, pardon my burp.
Yeah, we keep the burps in.
Yeah.
All right, so this is the last one. This is flavor 4 of 4.
Okay, that's me, Miles. Thanks, man.
All right.
Woo!
Flavor 4 of 4.
Okay. Guys, we do this for the art. You know what I mean?
This is all for
you.
The art.
This is for you guys.
We love you, Coca-Cola.
To know. Here we go.
Oh, I think I know what this one is.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Jack, you don't even sip it. You gulp it.
Yep.
You are an experiment. All
right, that one was feisty cherry.
That was definitely cherry.
Absolutely cherry soda, no doubt about
it. That cherry was feisty.
Yeah, pretty good, man.
It's pretty intense. All right, so what do you think? What's the worst one, I think, is zesty blood orange.
You think that's the worst one?
I think they're all terrible. Let me be honest. Worst one is all of them.
All of them.
Because I'll never drink
this
shit.
Yeah.
Okay. The only thing I can give props to is the mango one because I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. The ginger one was a letdown. I agree with your metallic note.
Yeah,
I feel like
they underlined the metallic notes on the Diet Coke.
Agreed about that.
I liked, I'd say blood orange was my favorite, maybe. Yep.
What?
Maybe.
Blood orange was your favorite?
Blood orange or mango. Feisty cherry, I thought worked.
Yeah.
I thought worked.
Yeah.
What is this?
On a conceptual level?
Yeah.
Project Runway? Got Tim Gunn of the Diet Coke.
It's actually what I, when
designers.
I'm using the Coke machine at a movie theater,
yes.
I recreate that feisty cherry by just doing Diet Coke with the cherry flavoring.
So you're
in
a feisty cherry hipster.
Yeah, exactly. I've been there before it was packaged. Diet Coke heard about me and was like, "Yeah, let's give that a
call." Adam, what are you giving?
I'm going to say 4th place ginger. I'm going to say 3rd place mango. No offense.
No.
I'm going to say 2nd place blood orange, and I'll take the feisty cherry up top.
Wow,
I'll take it. I really liked it. Yeah.
All right.
All right, guys. Well, decide for yourself which manner of neurotoxin you'd like to ingest.
Exactly.
They come in 4 great flavors.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well done, Diet Coke.
Yum. My stomach will never be the same. It is. I can feel
my
all the
foot
fruits.
Just fell off.
Adam, it's been a pleasure having
this
you,
This
was
such a blast. Thank you for having me.
Where can people find you and follow you?
Twitter at Adam Lustig. Instagram, same, Adam Lustig. Please watch Corporate on Wednesdays on Comedy Central at 10 p.m.
It is so funny.
We had Jake in here.
Oh, yeah, Weissman was here. Yeah, that's right.
I think we're having Matt in here.
Exactly.
So we'll have the whole crew.
Please do
watch.
We
see Aparna.
Yes, Aparna, yeah.
Make that happen.
Hell yeah.
I want to meet her.
Yes, she's
Miles.
Amazing.
Twitter goddess.
Miles.
Oh, me? Oh,
yes,
you can find me, you know, probably in the bathroom, just trying to deal with drinking all this Diet Coke. But if you're interested in the social media, follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Miles of Gray.
You can find me finishing all those Diet Cokes, and you can follow me at Jack_O'Brien. You can follow us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page. Just search Daily Zeitgeist. And we have a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post each episode and our footnotes for those episodes, which is where we link off to the sources that we use to research that episode.
So thorough of you guys. Very thorough.
Very thorough.
Yeah.
He's thorough.
Thorough. Good. I'm thorough.
He's thorough.
Shout out to Big Lebowski, which we talked about on yesterday's show.
Nice. 1998.
What's up, Julian?
98. Yep. So, Miles, are you going to write us out on anything?
Yeah, you know, because 2 days ago on the 7th, Jay Dilla, one of the greatest beat makers, hip-hop producers of all time.
Ever.
He was born that day. His death anniversary is actually this weekend.
Wow.
On the 10th. And since we won't have a show that day, first of all, I just want to tell anybody listening to this podcast right now, if you like music. You have to get familiar with J Dilla.
Truly.
I'm sorry. That is just a fact. Yes. And if you don't know that, do not approach me in public ever. Because we will have to have a conversation about J Dilla. And that is how I know you are a person of value.
Yep.
And a person of worth.
So, what's the album?
Well, Donuts is like, that was the,
that's
that,
the classic.
That's the most
the
prolific
one.
Yeah. Everyone, if you haven't listened to Donuts, just remember this. This man made this album, Donuts, on his literal deathbed in the hospital.
Like,
and
he was just like, I need to finish this.
Yeah,
the world needs this.
He and his doctor said, you cannot keep making music because you need to rest because your body is dying. And he still, his brother and his friends snuck the beat, like I think it was MPC or SP303, into the hospital. And he made this shit on his deathbed and died just after it was released. So anyway,
I know that. That's amazing.
Yes, it's amazing. But what I'm going to play is Donuts is everywhere, but I just want to play one of my more deep cut favorite beats that he made. It's a Busta Rhymes song called Show Me What You Got. It's on the Anarchy album, and it's dope because it has like a Stereo Lab sample, but it's just a really good vibe, and the bass line is silky smooth. So rest in peace, rest in power, J Dilla. And to everybody who have not heard of J Dilla, you're welcome, because he produced pretty much, like, just look him up. He did it all. So,
all right.
Yes.
So we will ride out on that. We'll be back on Monday. Hope you guys have a good weekend. Bye.
Yeah, it's another one of the marvelous shits. Yeah, flip phone. Fuck the vibe shit. Yeah. So remarkable. Yeah. As I say it over and over again, from song to song. Yeah. So remarkable. Busta Rhymes, the immaculate brawl, hardcore, rickety brawl, lay niggas flat on the floor, reclining in the back of the ball, nonchalant, flavor for sure, Tim's with the aqua velour, flavor like you never seen it before, ha, holy sacred and pure, flip mode beyond it for sure, the incredible to settle the score, like a nigga shot you in the face, through the peephole of the door, from New York down to Singapore, keep you niggas jumping around, had the bitches begging for more, street niggas here we speak for the poor, now we stack cheddar galore, when we shout by the store, metaphor like nuclear war, I warn niggas if you try to bite the shit and leave a crack in your jaw, take the loudest niggas out on the tour, make your nigga black in the spot, make you wanna take off
my
bra.
Dogs who hustle every day,
all my dogs who hustle every day now,
and on the store laundry mat around the way,
and on the store laundry mat around the way now,
we yeah. Got to get it.
Got for me.
All my shorties will stay fresh every day.
All my shorties that stay fresh every day.
My get money bitches who still hang around the way.
Get money bitches that chill around the way now. We yeah.
Got to get it.
We got it.
My bitches.
All my bitches, come on.
Tell me what you got for me.
What you got for me. All my bitches, what you got for me. Now, yeah. Stay packing the toast to give a fuck. Bust of the ghost and end up on the front of the post. Niggas know that I'll be rocking the most. Fucking Ethiopian bitches living in the Ivory Coast. Let me drug y'all niggas up with a dose. Make you act just like you're supposed. Watch a nigga playing me close. Nowadays, type of dough that we gross. I celebrate and throw me a roast. And get a known face for a host. We get it hyped even when we be calm. Niggas know my word is my bond. When we come, you know we the bomb. Hypnotic shit, get you retarded. Should've known it was a bad move, fucking around and getting me started. Still whipping in the back of the truck, so what? Not giving a fuck. In the streets, living it up. Saw what happened to the last nigga Buzz. Could give a fuck whoever he was. Throw them niggas out of the clubs. Them niggas off, shit turning me off. Time up, making them cough. Gag them in the throat with a cloth. After that, they going wild for the night. Niggas know the style for the night. Carlo, pie for the night. You know we always give y'all niggas a blaze. Black it out and party for days. Let y'all niggas fuck with the strays. Fucking dimes at the end of the days. Getting money, but it's too late. Got a nigga stuck in his ways.
All my dogs who hustle every day
now.
On the store laundry mat around the way.
On the store laundry mat around the way now.
We got to get it.
We got it.
Show me what you got for me.
What you got for me. All my niggas, what you got for me.
All my shorties who stay fresh every day.
All my shorties that stay fresh every day.
I get money bitches.